This afternoon we are going to turn our attention once again to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, as we take a look at some things that we need to be diligent to add unto our faith. Last week we talked about self-control, and this afternoon we're going to talk about perseverance, or some translations render it as patience. Let's read our text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. In this passage, Peter is telling us that we need to strive to attain the state of being partakers of the divine nature, not in that we will be omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, like our God, as we studied this morning from Psalm 139, but that we would have the characteristics of morality. We'd have the characteristics of what is righteous, what is just, what is true, those things that are noble, that we could take on that aspect of the divine nature. And also with the verses that follow, verses 8 through 11, we see that in being diligent to pursue these, obtain these, and add these to our faith step by step, it's going to help us as we strive to enter into heaven on that last great day. Last week we looked at self-control. Self-control has to do with self-mastery. That is, mastering ourselves. Being able to say no when we are tempted to fulfill our lust, fulfill our desires, to fulfill our passions. So to our knowledge, we are to add our knowledge, which tells us what is right and what is wrong. We're to add self-control, which keeps us from crossing those lines into doing what is wrong. To that, we are to add perseverance. What is perseverance? How is it connected with self-control? How does it help us to become partakers of the divine nature? We're going to look at those kind of questions this afternoon as we are looking at adding to our faith, adding this to our faith. What is perseverance? Perseverance is translated from the Greek word hupomone. Now, sometimes this is rendered or translated as patience in the New Testament in different English translations. But the word that is most often translated as patience or long-suffering is the Greek word makrothumia. Hupomone is a different word, but it's very similar in its meaning. Hupomone is actually a compound word, hupo meaning under, and mone meaning to abide. And so, literally, it is an abiding under, that is, living under, or abiding under, as Vine says. Thayer, it's a little more noted in his definition of this Greek term. He says that it is steadfastness, constancy, or endurance. The character of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest of trials and sufferings. I believe looking at this definition, we can see why it is that we need to be diligent to add this to our faith, because our faith is going to have us to go forward over rough terrain. It's going to have us to face trials and temptations. We're going to need that dogged determination to make it through. And that is perseverance. Patience is the ability to wait. The ability to sit there at that red light long after you think it should have turned green. But you sit there and you wait. And waiting is necessary because we are to wait on the Lord. We are to wait on things to happen in His time. Perseverance, though, is the ability to keep going forward with the weight and the pressure of a burden upon us. The ability to bear under hardships, to keep from giving up. A resolute determination to steadfastly move on toward the goal, no matter what the obstacles. The ability to remain constant in what we are doing. Every time I look at this, I think of the fellow Atlas, who carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. And the idea there is carrying that weight and going forward with that weight. That is what perseverance is. The ability to keep on keeping on. Why do we need this? Why do we need this quality? Why do we need to be diligent to add this to our faith? Well, number one, because of self-control. Now, in our last lesson, last Sunday afternoon, the previous characteristic that we're to add to our knowledge is self-control, self-mastery, the ability to tell ourselves no. A life of self-control is not always easy, is it? You get all excited about that diet. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be healthier. And that first day, knocked it out. And that next day, I didn't do quite as good. 3 or 4 days down the road, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of telling myself no. When I want these things, I want to do these things, or I don't want to get out and walk or exercise or whatever it is. It's not easy to live a life of self-control, and we're called to add this to our faith. We're called to live this life. It's hard to continue denying ourselves, especially when we're living in a world that is advertising sin, that is promoting and encouraging people to pursue and fulfill their desires, and we even look around about us and see others doing it. In Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." It's hard to continue denying ourselves when we see others around us not doing so, enjoying a life of indulgence in sin. But what this passage in Proverbs tells us we have to do is to keep our eyes on the goal of fearing the Lord and making heaven our home in eternity. Why do we need perseverance? Because the way of self-control is not easy. Secondly, because the way that we have been called is difficult. As we had our reading just a few moments ago from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we know that the Lord calls us to travel that narrow and difficult path that leads to life. There is joy, there is blessing, there is comfort on the path that leads to life. But Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't try to trick us. He lets us know from the very beginning that it's not easy. It is a difficult path. It is a narrow pathway. Jesus leads us over some rough terrain. And Jesus always calls upon us to take the high road. Whenever we're being tempted, whenever we're being challenged, whenever we begin to doubt, take the high road. Well, the high road's not always easy. And so we have to have that perseverance that's going to keep us going. There's always going to be a strong temptation to give up, to turn aside to smoother paths. We need this perseverance to keep on keeping on. Another reason is because we're not there yet. That's why we need perseverance, because we're not there yet. One of the greatest deceptions is this idea of salvation by faith only. The idea that once you give mental assent to the reality of Jesus Christ, once you profess a belief in Jesus, that's it. Signed, sealed, delivered. And heaven is yours. And that's not what the Scriptures teach. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures teach in so many different places, including Hebrews chapter 10, that we must keep on keeping on if we are going to make heaven our home. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 through 39. "For you have need of endurance." That word's very similar to perseverance. You need that endurance. You need that keep on keeping on mentality and ability. Therefore, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. But now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We have a choice to make. We can either keep on keeping on, or we can draw back and go back to where we've come from. If we keep on keeping on, we're going to save our souls. But if we draw back, we draw back to perdition or destruction. Why do we need perseverance? So that we can keep on keeping on, so that heaven will be our home. Heaven is a promise to those who live faithfully, not a guarantee to those who profess a belief and make a one-time commitment to Christ. No, it's a promise to those who stay faithful. If we go back to our text where we started, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we read verses 4 through 7. Look at verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does it sound like we're there yet? No, we're not there yet. So let's be diligent to add perseverance to our faith, because if we don't, we're never going to make it. We've got to add that to our faith. And we have to add that diligence, because the devil's going to make sure that it's not an easy path. Persecution is going to come. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say should. It says will. If we desire to live godly, if we keep walking forward to the salvation of our souls, we are going to suffer persecution. The persecution is going to come largely from an unbelieving world. Jesus warned of that in John chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. If they've rejected me, they're surely going to reject you. But sometimes the persecution and the opposition and the trials come even from our own brethren. What we need to understand is that regardless of the source physically, regardless of the name or the face attached to whatever suffering we're going through, ultimately it's all coming from the devil, isn't it? The devil is the one who is trying to trip us. The devil is the one who is trying to discourage us. Why do we need this perseverance? Because the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is tireless. The devil constantly works at keeping you and I from fulfilling the will of God, seeing the end of our faith. And that's why we have to have perseverance. Because we have an enemy who perseveres. So we have to persevere as well. We have reasons to add perseverance to our faith. While we're doing that, let's consider how it is that perseverance works in our life. We've looked at the word. We looked at what it means. Looked at how it works, or why we need it, rather. Now let's look at how it works. And I believe there are two sides to perseverance. Two sides, two ways that it works in our lives. First, there is the passive side of perseverance that can be seen in the exercise of endurance. That is, the ability to patiently bear under trials and persecutions in our life. In the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The tribulation is there. We need to be patient in that tribulation. We need to patiently endure that tribulation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endurance, Patience is necessary because without it, again, we'll quit. We'll fold up and we'll quit. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, in talking about the parable of the sower, here Jesus explains about he received the seed on the stony places. This is the place where the soil was not very deep at all. There was no room there for the plant to grow a root system to supply it with the water that it needed. And so when the sun came out, it beat down upon it and it died. And here's the application. Verses 20 and 21. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The stony heart stumbled because of tribulation and persecution that was caused by the word. He was caused to suffer because of the choice he had made to follow Christ. And that's one of the ways that Satan tries to get us to stop, tries to get us to turn back. He makes it hard for us. We have to have that endurance. We have to have that passive part of perseverance. But there is an active side to it as well, and that is in persistence. The exercise of persistence, the ability to keep on keeping on, the ability to keep moving forward. And the Bible uses some good illustrations to show the importance of this quality in our spiritual life. First is the illustration of running a race. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I don't know, as I said this morning, I don't know much about algebra at all. I know just about as much about running. I don't know a lot about it, certainly don't know a lot about it from experience. But the call for endurance tells me this isn't a 50-yard dash. This isn't lining up, and when you hear the start pistol, you run as fast as you can for a little bit and try to be the first to cross through that ribbon. The need for endurance tells even someone like me that it's more of a marathon. The Christian race isn't won in a moment. The Christian race is won with a lifetime of perseverance. It's won by practicing endurance. We have to keep on keeping on if we're going to reach the finish line. Also, perseverance works in our life by us continuing to do good, even when we don't want to, even when we don't feel like it, even when we seem to suffer for it, we continue to do good. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, there's a contrast between those who are saved and those who are lost. And notice the way Paul describes this. Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Now those are things that we hope to achieve in our resurrection from the dead, aren't they? Those three things there in verse 7. Glory, honor, and immortality. That's yet to come. That is something that is in the future. And eternal life, glory, honor, and immortality is going to be given to those who by patient continuance doing good. Not earning our salvation, but serving the Lord faithfully. We read on verse 8, the contrast, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. It is the life that the Lord considers as we approach Him in judgment. And the one who is persistent about doing the will of God, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the hurdles, this is the one that receives eternal life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, there is the admonition, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let's be persistent in that. Let's keep on keeping on with doing good so that we would not lose heart. And perseverance, that is persistence, is also illustrated with the idea of bearing fruit. In Luke's account of the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, there is the description of the good soil. It says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." But that's our word there. That's our word, hupomone. Persistence. Keeping on, keeping on. Fruit is born, but fruit is only born where there is that patience, where that there is that persistence. I would trust that we understand that fruit is not produced overnight. It takes time. It takes time for that seed that is planted to germinate and to grow into a plant, to go through that period of pollination, fertilization, and then the fruit is produced. Then it becomes ripe. Then it can be picked. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 uses farmers as an example of exercising patience. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." We are to be patient as we serve the Lord, waiting for that fruit to be produced. If we could take what we understand about growing a garden or going to an orchard during harvest time and apply it to the spiritual work that we do, we have a gospel meeting that comes around, and we take a handful of cards and we go out and invite as many people as we can, and maybe one shows up, and they come on one night, "Oh yeah, that was all fine and good," and they don't come back. And we don't hear much from them after that. But, you know, we keep doing that. Every time we have a gospel meeting, every time we have a lectureship, every time we have a singing, we continue to invite people. And pretty soon, we're going to start seeing fruit from that. Someone we've been inviting every time finally says yes, they'll come. And when they come, they hear the gospel preached. Maybe they come back. Maybe they come back several times, several different meetings. Maybe it's immediate. You see, it doesn't happen overnight. We need to be persistent in doing our work. We need to keep having gospel meetings. We need to keep having opportunities to open up our building, to invite people to come, to hear the gospel being preached. That's just one of many different applications we can make to the things that we do individually to try to spread the gospel to the lost. Let's not become discouraged because we don't see immediate results. James tells us it doesn't work that way. Let's be patient. We need that persistence. We need perseverance in bearing fruit for the Lord. We've talked about what it is and why we need it and how it works in our lives. So finally, let's talk about how we develop it. How do we add it to our faith? How do we add it to our self-control? How do we obtain it? Well, it doesn't come naturally. At least it doesn't for me. Maybe you're naturally patient. I don't know very many people who are. It doesn't come naturally, and it doesn't come miraculously. None of these things are given to us miraculously by God. We're told to be diligent to add them. That means that's on us. We have to learn perseverance. So how do we develop perseverance? Well, number one is by persevering. Persevering. The situations that demand perseverance from us will also produce perseverance in us if we handle them in the right way. It's a lot like exercising a muscle. You want your muscle to be strong, so that you can do exercise? Well, you're going to have to exercise. You want your muscles to be strong so that you can lift things? Well, you're going to have to start lifting things. That's the way it works. Well, it's the same way it works with perseverance, gaining the ability to keep on keeping on during trials. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience," or perseverance. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Going back to that illustration of a runner gains endurance by running. There's no shortcut there. There's no other way. A Christian gains perseverance by faithfully suffering through persecutions and temptations. That's the only way that we can obtain it, is by exercising it. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." The very things that call for perseverance are those things which will produce perseverance. Secondly, one thing that we can do to help ourselves is to follow the right examples. Don't follow the example of the complainer and the quitter. Now, their voices are easy to listen to because they're often the loudest. And they're often the ones that we want to sympathize with, especially when we feel like quitting. We want to listen to the quitter. We want to listen to the complainer. But that's not where the scriptures tell us to go. Back to James chapter 5, we looked at verses 7 and 8 to learn from the farmer. Look at verses 10 and 11. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." The prophets and the patriarch Job are great examples of endurance and perseverance. They were called upon to suffer unjustly, not knowing why. But through their examples that have been written, that have been recorded, that are there for us in the scriptures, we're able to see, number one, there is a purpose behind our suffering. And number two, there is good that will be brought out of exercising perseverance. We see that in the example of Job. We see that in the prophets. If we're able to see it in their lives, after everything is said and done, then we're supposed to be able to see it in our lives while we're yet in the midst of suffering. Let's persevere. Let's look to the right examples. And let's follow them, and we'll gain that quality of perseverance. Number three, we need to have faith in the reward. We need to walk by faith. We need to walk with the firm conviction that heaven is real and heaven will be worth whatever we have to go through in order to get there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 ought to be a refrigerator verse, a verse that you look at a lot. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What we have to go through now doesn't even begin to measure up to what we're going to get when we get there. And so let's keep on keeping on. Let's not quit. This verse is found right in the middle of a chapter in which Paul is telling Christians, let's keep on keeping on. There's nothing that can keep us from it. Let's obtain that reward. We have to keep our eye on the goal. Without faith in God's promises, there is no reason for us to endure to the Lord, to the end. And there's no spiritual resource from which we can persevere until the end. Let me say that again. Without faith in God's promises, there's no reason and there are no resources for us to continue on until the very end. We have to have faith in the reward. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's not going to last very long. When we get to heaven, whatever time we have spent struggling through this world, practicing self-control and persevering, it's going to seem like nothing. It's going to seem like it passed like a vapor compared to eternity when we enter in. If we can keep our eyes on what lies ahead for us, then we can endure what lies before us. If we can keep our eyes on what lies ahead for us, then we can endure what lies before us. Let's have faith in the reward. And let's dedicate ourselves. Let's dedicate ourselves to being faithful to the end. Let's dedicate ourselves to honoring the commitment that we made to Christ when we obeyed the gospel, that we are going to stick with him and we are going to see it through to the very end. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We saw this verse earlier. This is truth. Verse 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's bad. It's only going to get worse. But, verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God gives us everything that we need in order to persevere to the very end. To exercise, to develop that perseverance, we have to have the determination to continue down the path that we have started. And what's given to us is the Holy Scriptures. We need to read the Bible. We need to study the Bible. We need to be devoted to prayer. We need to assemble with the saints to worship God every opportunity that we have. We need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to associate with brethren outside of the assemblies. Spend all the time that we can with others who are persevering as well, who are striving to make heaven their home. And as we do these things, it will help us to develop perseverance. And doing that, we'll be able to help others to develop perseverance as well. Developing as a Christian requires us to obtain the qualities and characteristics that will allow us to serve the Lord faithfully throughout our entire lives. The devil is the tireless enemy of God and of his people, and he's going to do whatever he can to discourage us and to get us to quit. The way is hard, the days are long, and the toil can become tiresome. But brethren, our soul is too precious, and heaven is too great for us to quit. We've got to keep on keeping on. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I thank you so much for your kind attention and looking at this quality, this characteristic that we need to diligently add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, and self-control. This perseverance, this determination, we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to see it through all the way to the end. I don't know about you, but I need this. I need the reminder that I was put here. And I imagine that all of us need this reminder. So let's keep on keeping on. If you're not a Christian, you haven't started yet.
you need to become a Christian. You need to step forward to confess your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and let us baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you start. You need to persevere on through to the end. If we can help you to become a Christian, or perhaps as an erring Christian, you need to make things right. As a struggling Christian, you need our prayers. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand.